Well, one of these days we won't have to ask the Lord to turn it down. You know, the scripture says that the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. One of these bodies can only take so much, but I'm telling you, whenever we receive a glorified heavenly body, we'll be able to take it all in. The fullness at the right hand of the Lord, I think the scripture says, is the fullness of joy. The Lord lets us experience tastes of it here. The scripture says of the Holy Spirit that He is the earnest of our inheritance. It's just the down payment. So if you're enjoying salvation as we can and should, it's just a taste. Get ready.
Just a taste.
And if you're not enjoying salvation, you know the Lord has it for every one of us this morning. I thank the Lord for His visitation here in Kentucky over the last few days. I appreciate the messages that I've heard, and I'm thankful the Lord's faithful and He's willing to come and to visit us. And pray those that have been here that you've received a blessing to your soul. But before we really get started, you know the enemy, he'll try to take away your blessing. Whatever you've gotten, you know how fast it is that if we're not real diligent and careful, that the enemy will come along and try to snatch away the seed that was planted. So I want to encourage you, don't let the enemy steal what the Lord has given you. Whenever you leave from here, and I would even encourage you as a practical piece of advice, if there's something the Lord has brought to your understanding or challenged you with, I would encourage you before the sun sets, spend a little time today in meditation and thinking back and maybe even taking some notes. You know, in this meeting, the Lord dealt with me about this. The Lord gave me understanding on this scripture or this line or this subject. We don't want the enemy to be able to take from us. Appreciate your prayers this morning. Feel a need of them. Want the Lord to continue to speak to us. Don't want it to be my words. I'd like to turn to the book of Proverbs, the 24th chapter. Proverbs 24 and 30. It is a familiar passage to us. It is a sad state of affairs and a picture that the wise man portrays here. He says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. He looked upon the scene that was before him, and he got some instruction from it. As he looked at that, he saw a sight that spoke of something that one time was, but no longer was. There was a place that someone had built a wall. Walls don't build themselves. It required somebody at one point in time. It required their planning and their intention and their effort. That they went and they gathered these stones, and maybe they leveled the ground, and they very intentionally, deliberately, and with effort built this wall for a reason. Maybe to keep the foxes out and the things that would try to destroy the garden or the vineyard, and for protection, even for beauty. We see in some parts of Kentucky the stone walls along the road and surrounding the farms. But that wasn't the state that he saw now. Years now have passed and have gone by, and it's a different picture that he's looking on. He saw those stones, but they were falling apart. What was one time cultivated ground and maybe beautiful vineyards and gardens and flowers and meticulously cared for, now that's not the scene that he's looking on. Instead, he sees where the weeds have grown up. The thorns have taken over. And it's an altogether different picture than what it one time was. It very likely was not the picture that the founder of the vineyard had in mind. It's not what he designed. It's not what he worked for. But the end of that man was worse than the beginning. And you know, it's the enemy's design for every one of us. He wants to take what the Lord designs for good and for beauty and for wholesomeness in our lives, and he wants to tear it down. He wants to destroy it. It doesn't always happen overnight, and seldom does it. But there's a process of time that the enemy, this isn't a virtue, but if the enemy in his patience can set about his plan in our lives and cause over the course of time some things to begin to break down in our lives. You know how it is after you've been at a good camp meeting and you're just kind of fired up and ready to go and just desire the things of God? The enemy doesn't like it. The enemy sets his target on it. But you know, he also knows that he can't do much with somebody that's fired up for the Lord. There's not much he can do whenever we're walking in the center of the Lord's will and we're abiding and confiding in him like we sang about. But he also is able to look far down the road and say, if I can't get you today, I'm going to begin trying to set some things in motion to get you distracted, to get you to forget the things that the Lord told you about, to get you to lose your zeal and your fire for the things of God, to get where that desire just kind of wanes out over time and it doesn't again happen overnight. He went by, and have you ever done this? Maybe driving down the road, I'm thinking of one house in particular that we drive by coming down here. It's a nice home. It was a nice home. A two-story home, and looked like for a nice-sized family, and a newer design and architecture of the home. But it's not the picture of it today. The trim is falling off, and the shutters are hanging, and the paint is all faded, and the flower beds that were one time planted in front of the house are all overgrown with grass. You can tell that nobody's mowed the place for quite a while. There's an old car that one time was new. The tires flattened, the paint starting to rust, and the weeds growing all up around it. It's quite a different picture than what it once was. And I drive past that and I think, what a shame. What a waste. And it makes me wonder, what was their story? What was it that happened to that family? I don't know. I can only imagine now that maybe one time there were children running in and out of the house. And at one time, the sound of a lawnmower and a weed eater that was tending to the property. But something happened over time. And it's resulted today in something that's just a desolate place. Well, my picture for you this morning that I desire by the Lord's help to paint is not one of doom and gloom. You know, we read this in Proverbs, and it's such a sad state of affairs. But you ever imagine what that story could be like if the Lord got a hold of that man? You ever think how the rest of this story might could have gone if the Lord turned the fire up under that slothful man? If he woke up and came to himself and came to his senses, you know, that didn't have to be the end state of a thing. You ever seen where somebody has taken a place like the house that I just described to you? And went in and began gutting out the stuff that's damaged, destroyed, where the water has leaked in through the roof and rotted out the ceiling and drywall falling down on the floor. And they go in and maybe bring a dumpster in, and first they start hauling out all the stuff that's garbage, that's no good, that's of no use or no profit anymore. They begin to clean house, and then they begin to rebuild. They begin to put new over what was old. They begin to rebuild the thing that was beginning to fall down. And whenever they're finished with it, it looks just as nice or better than when it was first built. You know, my burden this morning is about waste places. And I thought about last night as the Lord was bringing the message that maybe He'll just go ahead and get it with this one. But I want to keep talking to you some about some of those places that Brother Marty described that the Lord can get a hold of, that He can bring us out of a pit, that He can bring us out of a bad place in our lives. I'd like to look at Isaiah, the 51st chapter. Isaiah 51, Brother Marty read the first few verses last night, but beginning in the third verse, it says, "For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." And you know, the end of the thing does not have to be destruction. And one of the places that the enemy likes to get people into, whenever they kind of come to themselves and they realize that, oh, what's happened all around me? It's not beautiful anymore. My salvation isn't working for me anymore. I'm not enjoying my salvation. I hear you singing about the joy of the Lord, and I just don't feel it anymore. The picture that the enemy wants to paint in people's minds is that this is just the way it is. This is just the new normal. This is just the way that the picture is going to be the rest of your life. Oh, Jesus talked about those that start out to build a tower, but they don't count the cost first, and they don't have enough to finish the tower. And then people walk by and they look at it and they wag their heads and they say, "What a shame. What a waste. People spent money on that. They invested in that. They spent time on that. And now it's just going to waste." Folks, a life lived without the Lord is a wasted life. A day spent outside of the will of God is a wasted day. It's gone. It's a waste. And you look at lives of people that are spending their energy and spending their time and giving their youth over to the lust and the pleasures of sin. And you think, what a waste. What a waste of a life. You look at people who can't be out of their 30s. And I see them bent over and I see their body just ruined. You can see the effect of sin. And to think, what a waste. It didn't have to be that way. But what I pray the Lord will impress upon us this morning is that the Lord wants to comfort some waste places. The Lord wants to take some places in people's lives that aren't as beautiful as they used to be. That's not quite what the Lord wants it to be, or not at all what the Lord wants it to be. The Lord wants to take some places that have become overgrown with thorns and nettles, and the weeds have grown up where there should be beauty. Folks, salvation is a beautiful way. Living for the Lord is the most beautiful life that you can get. And I'm going to tell you the pictures that the enemy tries to paint. That if you live for the Lord, you just can't do anything. You're in bondage. You can't do this and you can't wear that and you can't go there. I'm going to tell you, I've never been so happy as when I've lived for the Lord. I've never found joy like I found in the Lord. I've never found peace like knowing that all is well in my soul. I'm going to tell you, I don't look at my experience as a wilderness experience. But I found a well-watered garden. I found a place where the flowers can grow. I found a place where the graces of God can be shown forth. Not by my own ability, as we heard last night. But when the Lord does something divine and miraculous. They decided at work this year that they wanted to try to plant a garden out back. So somebody brought the tractor in and they worked up the soil and got it all prepared and planted a rock garden. Because you walk by and it looks like a gravel bed. Well, whenever they went and they built the plant, where I work now, apparently they scraped all the topsoil off. And all that's left is just gravel and rocks. And they looked at that and said, there's nothing going to grow here. There's no use. Folks, I'm going to tell you, the heart of man is like a stone. Stony places in our hearts. The graces of God just don't grow there. Love for our neighbor just doesn't grow there. I can try to plant and I can try to stuff the seed down in the ground. Or I can try to take a plant and stuff, it just doesn't grow. It just doesn't flourish. The only thing it grows there seems like are weeds. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord has a way where He wants to come in and take the stones out. Isaiah, I believe, talked about it. And He wants to make a highway and He wants to remove the stony places where there can be soil that can be cultivated and something besides weeds to grow. Oh, I pray the Lord will give every one of us a picture of the beautiful life that God has for you and for your families and for your homes and for our congregations. The Lord has a beautiful plan. If you go to a master gardener, you can bring him out and say, hey, look at my yard here. And they can envision in their minds, oh, if you only had a flower bed here, if only you landscaped over here and you put this kind of bush and this kind of flowers over here. And they see a vision of that. They see a picture of it. They're not looking at what it is now, but they're looking at what it could be. If you take and you work with it, and you might have to bring some topsoil in, and you might have to haul some rocks out. But oh, if you'll work with this thing, I know what it could be. Folks, the Lord is looking on every one of our lives today. No matter where we are, no matter where we've been, the Lord is looking at our lives and saying, I know what you could be. I know the beauty that could be in your life. Oh, I know the way that you could raise your children in the fear of the Lord. I know how there could be peace and happiness in your home. I know how you can have the joy of salvation in your heart again. Is your heart like a desert place today? Or is it flourishing like the garden of the Lord? He said the Lord will comfort Zion and her waste places. Folks, a life given over to sin is a waste place. There's just the enemy. As the Lord told Peter, Satan has desired to have you to sift you like wheat. You know what the idea of that is? He's going to sift out everything good in your life. That's what the enemy does. That's the consequence. It's the effect of sin in people's lives. And down the road, it may take a little while. There may be some pleasures of sin for a little while. But there's a sifting that's going on. And more... Every day, the enemy is sifting out that which is wholesome and good and right and sound until there's just not much left of any value, of any worth. But he said the Lord will comfort waste places. He wants to take that which has been stripped of all its value and worth. And he wants to bring in what's needed to be able to cultivate it again. Because the Lord's looking at your life. And he doesn't just see you the way you are. But he sees you the way that you could be under the influence of the grace of God. He sees what your life could be with the master gardener working in your heart and in your life. Oh, he'd make the wilderness like Eden. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? You go out in some of those places, just sand and rocks and hot and dry and barren. And the Lord looks at even a place like that and says, oh, wait till I get done with it. Folks, we can look at people's lives today in the world and it looks like it's just stripped of everything good. And we can shake our heads and say, what a shame. What hope is there? Folks, don't give up hope. Don't quit praying. It doesn't matter how they look. It doesn't matter where they are. It doesn't matter how far gone they are. The Lord is still looking at it. While there is life, there is hope. And the Lord is still looking at that life and saying, oh, you just wait till I get done with them. Oh, if only you could see. Do you ever work on something like that and take a before and after picture? It doesn't matter if it's a yard that you've taken that's gone to waste and landscaped it, or a car that you've rebuilt, or a house that you've remodeled. You take that before picture, that this is what it was. And then you take the after picture and you look at it and say, what a difference. I'm going to tell you the testimonies that we heard about last night. The Lord wants to give us some before and after pictures. He doesn't want us to forget where He brought us from and what we would be without Him, without the influence of His grace in our hearts and in our lives. But oh, folks, He wants us to have this after picture. He wants us to be able to show, that's what I was, but by the grace of God, I am what I am today. The Lord wants to comfort some waste places. And I don't know altogether where you are this morning, but the Lord does. You know, it's not just the sinner that's way out there. You know, there can be some waste places in the lives of the children of God. Is that all right? There can be some places that just aren't bringing forth like the Lord would like for it to. Some places where the weeds are maybe starting to grow a little bit. The cares of life are starting to try to choke out the Word of God. Where the grace of God isn't as evident as it could be. Comfort my people, the Lord says. I want to take and do something with those waste places. Those desert experiences, I want to make it like a garden again. 58th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah 58 and 11, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Folks, don't give up hope. And I'm going to tell you, we can look at small congregations. You may look at your congregation over in Vanceburg, Kentucky, and say, I remember when there were more people that came. I remember when there were more and they had interest. And I think about all those that don't come and all those that could come. And I can get discouraged, but I want to tell you, don't. Don't give up hope. Be faithful. Let the Lord make you a well-watered garden. And the Lord can do something with that. Folks, it's not over. The Lord wants to build some old waste places. He wants to restore some things that have been broken down in people's lives. Amen. There can be places, the foundations of many generations. Oh, it's sad to see the influence that the enemy can have in, say, a family. in just one generation that a mother, a father will turn away from the Lord. And in just one generation, how much can be lost. Someone may say, I'm not going very far in sin. I'm not going to go very far. Well, I want to live a little bit different. But I'm not going to go way out there. I want to just kind of be around the outside. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. The enemy has plans of destruction, and it can sometimes carry on and compound from generation to generation until you look at the children and the grandchildren of the saints and great-grandchildren and say, is there anything left? Do they know anything of holiness? Do they know anything of what it means to trust the Lord? Do they know anything of what these things mean? To have the power of God working in their lives to give them a victorious life. Do they know anything? Folks, the Lord wants to build some things that have been lost.
Yes.
I believe that one of the weapons the enemy uses is a sense of inevitability. What I mean by that is just this feeling that it's just the way it is. It's just the way it's always going to be. That's it. My children are going to be that way. Well, I see the path it's on, and it's just too late. There's nothing that can be done. No, but God, who is rich in mercy, folks, He's able to take some places, and He wants to use us to rebuild some waste places. Maybe in my own life that I realize there's some stones that have fallen out of the wall. There's some places that have started crumbling in my experience that by the Lord's grace, I'm not going to let it continue down that path. I'm not going to let nature take its course. But I'm going to rebuild what's broken down. Folks, the Lord can bless faithfulness. He can bless faithfulness. He wants to build some places that have been torn down. Isaiah, the 61st chapter, while we're over here. Isaiah 61. Prophecy of Jesus, what He would come to do. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Folks, where the old plants of bitterness and resentment have grown up, and the weeds and invasive species. I think they call honeysuckle that it just spreads and proliferates. You don't have to cultivate it. You don't have to go pruning it and working with it for it to grow. It just grows. And such is the case with carnality and envy and hatred and lust and all those kind of, they just start to grow in abundance. The Lord wants to transplant some plants in people's lives. He wants to pull those things up, not just cut it down. But folks, He wants, through the work of His Holy Spirit in our lives, to pull some roots up. And He wants to plant. When He takes things out of our lives, folks, He doesn't just leave it a wilderness. He doesn't just pull out those things and throw them aside and it's just barren. But then once He does that, He wants to come in and plant some beautiful flowers, shrubs, bushes, and the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Because people look on it and realize, I remember when that place was ramshackle and broken down. I remember the way it used to look, but look at it now. Boy, it's beautiful now. It's something I want to drive by and look at and enjoy. What a difference that's been made. And that's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to give where there are ashes. You know what ashes are? It's what's left after everything else has been burned up. After everything of substance is gone, all that's left is ashes. The enemy wants to leave ashes in people's lives. But thank the Lord that the Lord will take those ashes if we'll give it to Him. Give me your ashes and I want to give you beauty. Are you heavy hearted? I want to give you a different garment. A garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I'm going to tell you, that's quite an exchange. And that's quite a before and after picture that's painted here for us. And the Lord is able to do that in every one of our lives. He doesn't ask for us to be the architect of our own remodel, if you will. He doesn't expect of us to be able to see. I may not even be able to envision. I don't know how you could turn this thing around, Lord. Lord, all I see is brokenness and hopelessness. Lord, all I see is the consequences of sin and the tangle of the web that it weaves in people's lives. Lord, I don't know how you could do it, but oh, I'm going to tell you, our God has a plan. Our God is looking at that life and has a plan to be able to take the brokenness and replace it with wholesomeness, soundness, and beauty. The Lord said in Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, concerning His people, a little bit about the way He feels towards His people. Deuteronomy 32 and 9, "For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. He found him in a desert land." Folks, has the Lord found you?
Yes.
Where did He find you? Sister Mary, did He find you in a well-watered garden? Did He find you in a good place? The Lord finds us where we are. He finds us in our brokenness. He finds us in our emptiness. He finds us in those desert places. He came along and He said He found Him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. Not a place that you want to live. Not a place that you'd want to be. I think about that man Legion who made his home where? In the tombs of all places. Why do you want to live there? Well, he wasn't in his right mind until Jesus came along. And He said, "You're not going to stay there any longer. You're not going to remain in your nakedness and your possessed mind and running around in the tombs. I've got something better for you." I don't think any of the villagers could look at that man and envision that well-watered garden where the man was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. But the Lord saw it. And He was able to speak the word. And He was able to take that man's brokenness and his wilderness and make something out of it. I found him in a waste, howling wilderness. Oh, there's one passage I think in Revelation is said, "Without are dogs." Folks, there's vicious spirits of the enemy. I'm going to tell you, the devil ain't your friend. It's vicious out in the world. This howling wilderness very likely refers to the howling of beasts that inhabit the land. Even Canaan said, "We're not going to give it to you in 1 year, but little by little." Because if you take it all, you may not be able to possess it, and the beast will come back in and overrun it. That's kind of what happens whenever people pull out and the weeds take over and overrun the place, and the beasts come in and they occupy it. But it says the Lord found Jacob there. Found him in a waste, howling wilderness. The song says, "Jesus, my Savior, came looking for me." Thank the Lord that He found me. He found him in a waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. Folks, we don't have to pick our way out ourselves. We don't have to figure out how we're going to untangle all the mess. There are things the Lord's going to require of us, but I'm going to tell you, He will instruct us. He'll lead us. He'll step by step, folks. I don't have to figure it out. I know, and people sometimes they get bogged down. "Well, I can't get saved because I don't know how I'd ever work this out. I don't know how. It just seems so big. It seems insurmountable." so I don't even come. Well, no, you can't work it out in your own. No, you can't change your heart's desires. Yes, there's a coming to the Lord and bringing the fruit of repentance to the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, you can't change your own heart. You can't change your desires. You may try to control your behaviors and not let yourself, but it doesn't go very far because you can't change what's down inside. You can't change that heart. But the Lord can take and the Lord can instruct us and lead Him about. Folks, the Lord knows how to come and find us that, like that little lamb that's lost and caught in the bushes and take and lead us out by the hand. Folks, He knows how to lead a step at a time. I know the way out of here. I came to buy you. I came to redeem you. I came to redeem your waste places. I came to get you out of that place. And He led him out. He kept him as the apple of His eye. It's something that indicates that we are precious in the sight of the Lord. That we are valuable in His sight. Folks, the Lord looks on a life that's wasted. And He doesn't look on us with hatred towards us. I think rather, if anything, He looks and shakes His head and tears on His face and says, what a waste. What a waste. It doesn't have to be that way. Your life doesn't have to continue on that path because I can do something about it. As the apple of His eye. Hosea, the 10th chapter. It says that those places that are fallow, you know what fallow ground is? It's just, it's not bearing anything. It's just lying dormant. The Lord can take those waste, dormant places of our lives. He wants to do something with it. You know, there is something we're going to have to do. I can't just say, Lord, I like these plans, Lord. I like my, what did it say, the slothful man? Lord, I like my ways. I don't feel like getting up off the couch. I'm going to tell you this sin, it's comfortable. It's what I know. I've surrounded myself with it. And the thought of getting up and going out, it just seems like too much to me. It just seems like it's too much work. You ever found sometimes maybe even you just don't quite feel like getting up and going and doing something, and the more you think about it, it just seems like the bigger that thing gets in your mind. And then when you finally do get up and do it, you think, well, it wasn't so bad after all. I'm going to tell you, following after the Lord isn't so bad after all. I'm going to tell you, leaving your sins behind isn't so bad after all. Coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm tired of it. Lord, I'm tired of the way I'm living. I'm tired of living in the wilderness place. It's not so bad after all. To come to that place and just give it to the Lord. Hosea, the 10th chapter. The 12th verse says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Folks, are you willing to do something with the fallow ground? Am I willing to acknowledge, Lord, there's a place here that's just fallow? Maybe one time it grew the graces. Maybe one time I had a good experience with the Lord. Maybe one time I had a good testimony. But all I find now are weeds and nettles and it's overgrown it. It's time to break up some fallow ground. It's time to come and seek the Lord. Lord, I believe that You can do something with the brokenness and the emptiness. It's time to seek the Lord until He come and rain righteousness upon us. The book of Joel tells us that the Lord would recognizes, as I said, a life that's lived in sin. It's a wasted life. A day that's lived after the pleasures of the flesh. It's a wasted day. The Bible tells us redeeming the time. The children of God, redeem the time. You can't go back and relive those days that are gone. You can't go back and get those back.
What a shame. What a waste. There's a song, I wonder if, let's see if I even have it. Sister Mary, maybe you have it, Wasted Years. You know? Well, we'll try it. Have you wandered along on life's pathway? Have you lived without love, a life of tears? Have you searched for the great hidden meaning? Or is your life filled with long wasted years? Wasted years, wasted years, oh how foolish. As you walk on in darkness and fears, turn around, God is calling. He's calling you from a life of wasted years.
Wasted years. You know how quickly those wasted days turn into wasted months? And wasted months into wasted years? And before you know it, the years of your life have slipped through your fingers. And you look back and say, what's left? What's left of it all? Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Folks, what are we doing with our years? What are we doing with our life today? Only a life given to the Lord in His service is going to be a life that is well spent and productive. But again, I can look at the picture. I can look at current state. And I can say, it's too late. I can't relive those years. I can't turn the clock back anymore. But let's read this promise that's found in Joel. Joel, the second chapter. The 21st verse, fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For He hath given you the former rain moderately, and caused to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in her first month. You know what makes the difference between a wilderness, a desert, and a garden? There's no water in one. No irrigation, no rain that comes down, so nothing can grow there. But it says that the Lord will come, and like we read, seek the Lord until He come and rain righteousness upon you. And He said, I'll send the former and the latter rain, and the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. There is an abundance in living for the Lord. The Lord Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. I haven't come that you just live on meager rations and just barely getting by. Folks, there is an abundance in the Lord. He wants to bring forth in our lives. But there can be places that maybe I haven't fully consecrated to Him. I haven't fully given it to Him. And it's a waste place. Oh, maybe as I can picture, there's a little flower trying to pop its head up. But it just can't really bring forth an abundance. Folks, the Lord wants to work with that as I yield and I give those places to the Lord. He wants to work with it so it brings forth abundantly. Oh, I love the idea of abundance. That it's not just barely enough for your family to eat. You know, the Lord has such an abundance He wants to bring forth in our lives that I can eat and flourish in the Lord. And that I can give to my children and say, you eat also. You enjoy the good things of God. And my companion, and we can eat together. And you know what? There's still some left. And I can say to my neighbor, I got some leftover. I got more than I can take. Let me share it with you. and my coworker that's hungry. I'm talking spiritually. That's, you know, there's a lot of churches today that people are on starvation rations, right in the pews of the churches. Maybe just a little bit of truth here and a little bit of truth there. But folks, the Lord wants us to have such an abundance in our lives that I can speak truth to them. Not that I'm going around preaching and connect, but folks, He wants to bring such an abundance out of my life. Out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaketh. It can't help but to speak. And if it's the good things of God down inside, oh, I want to tell you what the Lord did for me. Some of the testimonies I've heard in this very meeting. Tell it, because people need it. Let me share what the Lord's doing in my life, and other people can benefit from it too. Shall be full of wheat. The fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. Oh, there was a time that you weren't living for me. There was a time that I couldn't bless your life like I wanted to because you were hiding yourself in your sins and unright, and I couldn't work in your life what I wanted to. But oh, He's saying here, if you'll come to the Lord, if you'll bring those waste places to me, He said, I will restore to you the years. I can't turn the hands of the clock back. I can't go and relive those times. But I'm going to tell you the best thing that you can do with the rest of your days is to give every one of them to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord has a way of restoring what the enemy has stolen from us, what the enemy has stripped away from us, and it seems like it's gone too late and I can't go back. You give yourself to the Lord and see what the Lord will do for you. The Lord, there may be some things of consequences of sin that I can't go back and undo, but I'm going to tell you, the Lord will give you the richest abundance in your life that is possible. The Lord will give you back just as much as possible of those years that have been lost. So I can sit today and just shame. Well, I don't know. I hear Him singing about joy, but I sure don't feel it. Folks, it doesn't have to stay that way. You don't have to go back to your desert places. I'm going to tell you, the Lord wants to come today and rain righteousness upon us. He wants to make of the desert a well-watered garden. He wants to restore. If there's some places you look back and say, you know, what have I done with my life? What have I been doing? What have I been doing with myself? Oh, I want to make productive use of my years. The Lord wants to come and restore. Yes. And He says, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. You want to be satisfied in your soul? Yes. Folks, it only comes in the Lord.
Yes.
Ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. Oh, folks, do you want to know? I know He's my God. I know I'm His child. What a joy that brings. What a peace. What a comfort it brings to be able to say, I know my name is written there. I know that I'm ready to meet the Lord. You shall know. You shall be satisfied abundantly. I pray the Lord has painted in your minds and in your hearts today a realization that what we look at as broken started out in this kind of a bleak picture, wasn't it? It went by the field of the slothful. It's overrun. It's overgrown. It's what a sad state of affairs. But oh, may the Lord inspire our hearts today. Those waste places can be made to bring forth again. I think the song is healing, and Jesus says the wing that's been broken can soar high again. Folks, it's not inevitable. I don't have to stay where I'm at if it's not where the Lord wants me to be. I don't have to stay there. I can get up and come to the Lord and just open myself up to Him. Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to break up some fallow ground. And folks, the Lord knows how to come in and start turning some things up and turning the soil over and getting it ready and adding to it just what I need so that it can bring forth in abundance. And the latter end of that man is better than the beginning. If we come to the Lord and bring our waste places to Him, you pray for me. Amen.